This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Joyce Goh, and you're listening to Pressing Matters Right Now, the show that goes behind the headlines where we speak to members of the press on their stories. Today, we're speaking to BFM's very own Kelvin Yee from the Evening Edition and Sabrina Magdalene from BFM's news team. We're looking to discuss the news coverage of Parliament. Welcome to the show, Sabrina and Kelvin.
Hi.
Hey, thank you.
Hello. Now, you both have been on the ground covering the Parliament session today. Tell us more about how that experience has been so far.
So, I think it's been quite a fun one, actually, because this is, of course, a new government and this is their first ever sitting. Well, now it's in the second sitting. What I found was that the drama mostly happened in the first session.
Okay.
Now it's more, they're getting into the groove of it. It's business as usual, that kind of thing.
Mm. How about you, Sabrina?
Well, for me, I think generally the hype around what happens at Parliament is very... It's a lot of thrill, you know, actually what you see on the ground. But it's just that in Parliament, it's more controlled. And of course, with the new government, I feel like there's more transparency. So we can press forward with questions that we can expect answers as compared to the previous government where answers are a bit more controlled or we just probably don't get any responses sometimes.
Okay. Did you notice any differences between the last Parliament session and the current Parliament session? So that's the first, I think the last Parliament session was in July and the current one started 15 October.
So because Malaysia Baru happened, it was pretty huge for the first session for the new government. So I feel that we journalists, we wanted to know how the MPs felt, their vision for the country, what it felt to be on the powerful side of the day one and also on. So, but whereas for the latest parliament sitting, the MPs have had more work to execute since they've been sworn in. So you can hear a lot of solutions to issues, backup plans, debates and so on. So this gave us a chance to understand better about how they work and also how they intend to bring reforms that they've promised.
And actually because of that work that they're doing on the ground work and stuff now, I think attendance has also become a problem. And it's actually been an issue that's been brought up in Parliament. It's a question of the day. I think last week it came up from Pandang MP, from a Pandang past MP, right? And he said, like, look, the speaker has to do something about the attendance rates. But it's normal for them to not be in Parliament once they're more settled into their roles, I think. And they only come in when... I think ministers tend to time their entrance quite well. So if, let's say, their question is coming up next, then they'll appear maybe 5 to 10 minutes before.
Oh, okay.
And then you can see them rushing in from the lobby into the chambers.
Okay, because former Prime Minister Dato Sri Najarazak, I think he posted out on Facebook as well, I think the picture. There was a picture trending on social media showing that, you know, some MPs missing from their places during a Parliament session. Kelvin, you're saying that that's quite the norm. But do you see certain dates or certain days where there tends to be more of a turnout compared to others?
Well, usually the first week, the first or second week of Parliament. And I think last one, the first 2 weeks, they were more present in Parliament because, you know, new government, right? Second sitting, I think they were more present because, of course, it was the swearing-in of Paul Dixon MP Anwar Ibrahim, right? So you could see a lot more members of Parliament there. You could also see more members of media there. Halls tend to empty out within the second and the third weeks of it. Media also tends to be a lot less than. It gets even emptier when there are major court cases happening, like the recent Najib Irwan Sarigar ones.
Sabrina, how about yourself? You know, do you notice any differences when it comes to the atmosphere?
Oh, the atmosphere. So it's usually always buzzing. And it's mostly from the journalists. So usually the corridors are filled with journalists and a camera crew just waiting to capture anything that they can get. And you know, and you'll actually know when someone important is around because some people will just start running towards one area and you just don't think, you just
follow.
Take off.
It's herd mentality. It's really herd mentality. You detect movement and you move towards whatever direction you're in.
And if you look from upstairs, you will it looks like magnets in motion. You know, but the journalists really do bring life towards the Parliament corridors, I feel.
Yeah. Notwithstanding also the speakers of the House, I think whenever you see parliamentarians arguing with each other, or if one Parliament, apparently pantons are a big thing in Parliament, you know, before they deliver their question or their statement or their whatever, right, they will give a panton, and you can see the two speakers, you know, Muhammad Arif Muhammad Yusof and also Na Kor Ming, looking quite amused at what they're witnessing.
Yeah, so when you guys chase after one another, then there'll be a huddle of sorts, or how do you cover that?
Yeah, so actually, in that case, I feel it's it can get a bit dangerous because, you know, we really press in, you know, as much as we can to get our recorders or recording devices right to the mouths of the MPs or whoever we want to get the interview from. So I feel it's quite, I feel like, you know, with the camera stands all there, you either get, sometimes you will tend to get knocked. But the idea is that we want to capture as much news as we can. We want to get the clip. Sometimes there'll be announcements that are made. So it's very important to us. So we do what we can.
Actually, last week, the news team, I saw in the newsroom that you guys made your own device out of a stick.
Two chopsticks gathered together. And because the reason why is also because it's just hard to reach. We have a Zoom recorder, but that's a bit short. That just sits well in the palm of our hands. But the stick gets us something.
Right, straight. And you can pick up the audio very clearly. Yeah.
But I must say, though, it feels like to me the journalists there tend to work together also. What I find is that, you know, if your mic or your, whatever your recording device is tends to be out of reach, someone else will help you hold up the mic who's further in front, who might be from a print publication who doesn't need an audio recording. Or sometimes because there's only so many of us on the ground, some people will go for separate press conferences or separate door stopping. So we tend to ask each other, hey, I missed that session. Do you have audio from that session? And could I get it from you? And then we do, you know, share it. To me, that's quite nice. It's a friendly environment.
As an industry, you band together as one. Any memorable experiences from covering Parliament stories coming from you both? Sabrina, would you like to start? Do you have any?
Well, actually, I want to kind of link it to also it was an interview with our youth and sports minister, Syed Saddiq. And what happened was that the current issue that was ongoing was the picture of him on Instagram in a bathtub that he eventually deleted. So the first thing, as we all gathered, and he was kind enough to give us time because he was rushing somewhere, but as everyone was trying to gather and he was giving us time to gather, the first question he asked was about that.
Okay.
And, you know, I just felt that, I mean, he only has a few minutes, you know, so it's important to get as much information as we can from them, you know. So that for me was like, oh, no, you know, I mean, we want to talk about mental health and, you know, other programs. So just what they debated in Parliament about. Those are more pressing issues.
And that's what he mentioned as well. And it was quite strange for, you know, because he has a press WhatsApp group, which I happen to be in as well. Right. So during the Q&A session, he told the press, look, there's more important things to cover. I came out of the Chambers of Parliament talking about something very serious related to my ministry. In the WhatsApp, I think then some publications later wrote that, oh, Syed Saddiq scolds media members. But that didn't happen, right? And then in the media group, he actually said, look, guys, I never actually scolded you. Can you please just watch the audio, watch the video and do that? Reframe the angle, reframe the headlines and reframe whatever you wrote, right? Because it's not correct. And eventually, I think the two publications did. I'm not sure if I want to name and shame, but I won't. But they had to retract whatever they wrote.
I'm speaking to Kelvin Yee from BFM's Evening Edition and Sabrina Magdalene of BFM News Team. After this, we'll continue our discussion on covering the Parliament beat. Stay tuned to Pressing Matters here in the Morning Run at BFM 89.9. Good morning. You're listening to Pressing Matters and our guests today are Kelvin Yee from BFM's Evening Edition and Sabrina Magdalene of BFM News Team. Earlier, we were talking about covering Parliament and discussing about how the press framed their stories from Parliament. And now there's been criticism that much has been taken out of context. What are your thoughts on that? Kelvin, would you like to start?
I'm not sure if a lot has been taken out of context. You know, is what happens is that just happens some stories, and it doesn't happen as often. Maybe the journalists themselves take to mean what the minister said would apply to something else as well, right? Like what we saw recently with the Mujahid Yusuf Rawat case, the religious affairs minister, the Star reported that, look, Kalwat raids will end. But then the minister didn't explicitly say that. So I think in that sense, it's very important to always ask the minister to clarify again and again and to ask very prodding questions. And it also depends on who the press secretary is. You know, if the ministers or the deputies are planets, then press secretaries are usually the moons around them, right? They always orbit around the ministers. I think it's also important for them and for you to speak to them and to know them so you can, maybe if you can't get a clarification from the minister, the closest person you can get a clarification from is from the press secretary. I remember one of the better press secretaries would have been the one under the health minister, who, after he gave a press conference, he came up to me, this press sec, and he was like, look, did you get everything you wanted? Did you get everything you needed? Was everything clear? And then we, you know, asked him further to give us some more concrete numbers.
I think accessibility is also very important when it comes to this. Sabrina, what about yourself? What are your thoughts on this when it comes to, you know, stories taken out of context when it comes to Parliament?
Actually, I agree with Kelvin, and also I want to add that, you know, for instance, like the Syed Saddiq issue, we were all there, you know, so you can misinterpret and misrepresent how a person says it as well. But actually, he was saying it, and I felt he was saying it in a more professional manner, just indicating that there are just more important matters to talk about and report about, and just gave that and then just started talking about the stadium project. And I think the way he did it was pretty professional, but certain media outlets took it out of context. But also, actually, I don't blame the MPs for not wanting to speak to journalists sometimes because of how we choose to report and our choice of words. Because, you know, I believe that media outlets are messengers, you know, and sometimes when things get taken out of context, the first thing I relate it to is the whispering game. Or the telephone, some people call it the telephone game. So, you know, where the first person gets the original phrase, passes it on.
Yeah, and then Chinese whispers game. Eh?
Yeah, correct. That's what they call it as well. And passes it on till the last person narrates what they last heard, right? I've not seen a group yet that has got it 100% right. But what I'm saying is that we are the direct receivers of the original message. So if we don't report it as it is, we not only can tarnish someone's image, we would also taint our own credibility and be judged according to the standard of content that we produce. So there is power and a domino effect in not only delivering the info, but also how we influence the minds of our followers. And we really cannot afford to abuse that, because I feel that the world is watching.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Well, just this month, a cordon has been set up in Parliament lobby after a cabinet member almost fell after he tripped on some stray camera cables when the press stopped him for an interview. And, you know, this cordon is supposed to be like to ensure that the main lobby is a safe passage, so to speak. So has that impacted the way you both work and cover your stories in Parliament?
So what I found surprising was they only did that in the second session. So right in the first sitting, when I first covered it, right, I was told by other members of the media that, look, that area which is now cordoned off, it's actually right outside the chambers. There are some pillars and a bit of a narrow space before you enter the Parliament, right? So I was told that there's a sort of secret rule or a silent consensus that journalists don't doorstop ministers or MPs there, because that space is also where the Parliament logo is, or a board or whatever, so people can go there and take photos. But if you're there doorstopping someone, they can't take the photos. You're also blocking easy access into Parliament, into the chambers, right? So I was quite surprised coming back second session and they had actually started rushing towards ministers as they were walking out and behind those pillars. I guess the silent rule doesn't quite apply anymore. Yeah.
Is it Malaysia Baru thing or not? It's not.
It only happened in the second sitting. I'm not sure if it's in the...
Yeah. Actually, I feel that, you know, the solution to this, right? I mean, yes, it can get dangerous, like I mentioned earlier, because you don't only endanger the journalists and, I mean, the way that they do it, you know, because they walk right in and then just put their hands through. And then sometimes they're just leaning on each other. So, you know, you can cause a, I don't know, people can just fall on each other and you can hurt the minister and you can hurt everyone around there, you know. But what I feel is a solution is that there's a press conference room there. There's a press conference area there that they can hold as well. So what the ministers can do is offer to hold these sessions so that we can actually conduct our Q&As in a more orderly and controlled environment.
Yeah, I think in that case, Sabrina, I think for some journalists, right, you're always scared of being scooped. Right, because if you have a press conference, sometimes you have the press conference somewhere else in a room, perhaps, and then who knows? Maybe Prime Minister is walking out, and suddenly they what's your comments about the ringgit? And suddenly he announces something that is news breaking, and then you know, and then our bosses would be like, why did you miss the scoop? That could be an issue, I think. But do you think that this a safe passage, this barricade or cordon area that they've done right now, has that negatively impacted the way you guys do your stories, or is that still okay?
I think it's still okay, you know. I think journalists generally, I like to say that we generally respect spaces of whoever we're about to interview, right? We don't always rush up to them unless they had just said something very controversial in the chambers. So the barricade that they've added, I feel, is a good thing, right? So we don't block whatever they're going to do, or we don't clog up that space, because the chamber that the Lega Parliament, I think that the lobby is actually quite wide. It's just that space between the pillars and between the doors is, you know, small, and we can't afford to have our PCs there.
Yes.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with Calvin. Actually, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. So coming back to the MPs, any more accessible MPs, or you know, that you guys like to, you know, when they walk out, you're like, oh, we're definitely going to get a good quote from this guy or this lady.
Actually, how I take my approach to their stories is, I guess it depends on what's the current issues that we can approach certain MPs, and what, because we'll check in the order just to see which MPs will be around for the day. So, you know, as we prepare all those things, so I guess certain media outlets have different prep, you know, and I would prepare differently. Calvin would probably prepare differently. So at least when we work together, we can at least cover more base when we ask the ministers as well. But at the same time, I feel that different media outlets look out for different information and then prep their questions accordingly.
Yeah, and we share our questions. We share our tape generally. But on your question of who is approachable, who's not, I find that Theresa Kaur is always talking to the Chinese press. I think she has friends there, but she's also a friend of BFM. She listens to us every day, right? Mm-hmm. MCA's Wee Ka-seong is also very approachable. Zoraida Kamarudin this time has also apparently been more responsive. The ones who are always busy, I would say, are Teo Nee Ching. Lim Guaning tends to have his moods. If he has something to say, he will say it to you.
Interesting.
And, you know, I also want to add that Transport Minister Anthony Lok, he's very encouraging with information. He walks with you to give you information. He doesn't mind being recorded. I once got into a lift with him, so I managed to get an exclusive with him. I also feel
that's great.
Yeah, M. Kulasegaran for HR, he's great. Sri Zulkifli Ahmad for health, and also Syed Sadiq for youth and sports. They seem to be very willing to give information.
Great. I've been speaking to Calvin Yee from BFM's Evening Edition and Sabrina Magdalene of BFM News Team. Thank you for being on the show today, both of you. It was great, great conversation, and to hear how you guys cover your stories in Parliament. I'm Joyce Goh, signing off for the Morning Run this morning. Stay tuned for the 10 a.m. news after this by Sabrina Magdalene and followed by Enterprise at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.